Mandahar. Another Svari might give up with other things, the Chazanish, that Milch goes every day. Stag, you know why? Who wants better than this if he's going to be a woman? Which is that, you know, there's a shit that never tell a meal before Milch, with me.
This week's Sadra Parsha is Baloischu. At the end of the Parsha, we have a very interesting matter which happened on the Eden in the Midbar. Vatadab Miriam v'Aaron b'Moshe al oidus ha'isha ha'kishis asher lokach ki isha chishis lokach. We have a Parsha when Miriam and Aaron, the Torah tells us, spoke Lushan Hara about Moshe Rabbeini, and the Eibishter wasn't very happy. And the Eibishter all of a sudden told them all, what did they say? They said that Miriam told Aaron that Moshe Rabbeini is a gross nuvi. He's a very, very big nuvi. But he's not dafka bigger than us. And just like we stayed married to our respective husband and wives, Moshe Rabbeini should have stayed married to his wife also. Why did he give? Why was he pirish min ha'isha? Why was he pirish himself from Tzipoira? And the Eibishter wasn't very happy, and the Eibishter told her, and the Eibishter said to Moshe and Aaron and Miriam, go all three of you out to the base to the oil moed. Hashem came down with the Shechina, and the Eibishter told to Miriam and to Aaron, as how could you speak about my Moshe Rabbeini? Vayichir af Hashem bom, vayelach, and he went away. It's been very, very strict words, very harsh words. And Miriam became Mitzras Kashuleg, she got Tzras. Aaron went to Moshe Rabbeini and Davin and asked him, please, please save our sister. We're talking about the Gudel Yisrul, the one who could zichet do mofsim. And he went and spoke to the Eibishter and he tried to poilos that she shouldn't have a Tzras anymore. And the Eibishter wasn't asking, the Eibishter didn't give in. The Eibishter said, a kolshkein. Miriam should be 7 days out of the Machne. She stayed with Tzara 7 days out of Gans Klal Yisrael. And everybody waited in Klal Yisrael for them to travel further. They were about to travel on from there where they were. And they had to wait 7 days. Gans Klal Yisrael L'chvoido waited 7 days because Miriam had Tzara. It's a parsha which...
He wasn't up to them too late. He was up to them
Right, but Hashem made everybody of Klal Yisrael wait, l'chuvit for Miriam, that they shouldn't go because of that Miriam had tzaras. This parsha is one of the shesh tzchiras. It's one of the shesh tzchiras which we have a chiv to remember. We have it printed at the end of the siddur. Some people have a minute to say it. There's shesh different skiras, six different types of things, which it says in the Torah we have a chiv to remember always. This is one of them. Just to go through them quickly to know what they all are, and we'll concentrate a little bit on this one of Miriam of Tzaras. The first one is, I don't know why the order which was brought down in the Siddur, I'm not sure what the order is, because it's not written in the order of Shtat in Torah, but that's the order which you get used to saying. The first one is Zeichel Tzias Mitzrayim. We're going to remember always. We know that we're going to remember when we have Mitzrayim. We have loads and loads of mitzvahs which constantly we keep on saying. We say it in Krishma. We say it in Kiddush. We have the whole time constantly. We have by Yom Tovim. We have constantly a reminder of Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. And every time that we say, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hoceiti Etchem Me'aretz Mitzrayim, we be mekayim this mitzvah of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim. The next one along is Chiris Mamed HaSinai. We've got to remember where we became a nation. Mamed HaSinai, the reason Ayisha took us out of Mitzrayim was in order to become Am Kudosh, V'yisim L'Sigilo, Mikolo Amim, you should become my treasure, you should become my people. That's when we begot, that's when we received the Torah Kedosha, that's when Klal Yisrael said Nasa V'Nishma, that's when we became who we became, that's when we became the chosen nation, Atu V'Chartuni Mikolo Amim, which we keep on talking about and we keep on remembering. And that's the reason why the Goyim are Mekanas through the holiest, through all the Gulas, is you're the chosen nation. Yeah, we're the chosen nation. This happened by Mamed HaSinai. Raki Shom Elecho, Shmoy Nafshecho Me'oid. Very, very stark illusion in Pusik. A person has to be careful and guard himself. And Tishkach Sadevurim, Asherui Enecho. If you forget the things which your eyes saw, of any Sirim Elevavcho, Kolim Echiecho. If you remove them from your heart, your whole life. And not only is it enough that you should remember, we have a mitzvah to tell our children and our einiklach, the day that you stood in front of Eibishter on HaSinai, which is the Messiah of Klal Yisrael, which give over to our children, our grandchildren, we keep on giving it over to every door. That is what we happen on HaSinai. Even if the other religions who want to proclaim the true, they only started off with a single person. And here we have 600,000 people who stood at Mamet, who stood at Mahas Sinai, and they all told over their children and their Einikler because of this Pusik in the Torah. And therefore our Mekoyer, of our Yiddishkeit, has so many Eidim that it's impossible to contradict. The third Zechira is Zechiras Maase HaMulek. This is maybe the most famous Mitzvah Zechira, which we know, because this we line from a Sefer Torah and Parashat Zuch every year. And we have to Makbid to line it from a Sefer Torah in order to remember that we have to wipe out Amulek. Amulek couldn't stand that we became the chosen nation. They couldn't bear seeing that Klal Yisrael has risen to a Mamad of Kedisha. They were the ones that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to be the chosen nation. And they tried to destroy that. They tried to come and fight against us. They tried to come and kill us. They tried to come and make us korcha baderech. They tried to make us cult in our Yiddishkeit. They tried to do, till today, we know Amulek represents a sultan, and that's hacking against us, that's fighting against us, and constantly battling against us, in order to break us down and tear us down. It says, the Eibishter, don't forget what Amulek did to you. And we have a mitzvah, Timcha, Zecher, Amulek, Metachas, Hashemayim, Letishkoch, Mishamit Shem, Mashiach, Et Kimon, will be able to mekayim this mitzvah of Timcha, Zecher, Amulek, Letishkoch, in Ganzen. There was already attempts at it. Shul HaMelech tried. We know the mass of Humon. The Eden also killed back the Goyim who wanted to kill them, which came from Humon's Eitzah, which was Mezer HaMulek. Mitzvah Mashiach will come, will be Zoychet and Mekayim, Pshita, Kemashmoy, Timcha, Zeicha, Mulek, Metach, Sashmayim. The next one is Zechiras Maase HaEgel. Klal Yisrael Taka went to this pinnacle of greatness by the Bag Sinai, and they became the nation. But unfortunately, just a few days later, they had an Afila. And they fell down, and they thought, Moshe Rabbeinu is not coming anymore. What exactly what happened by the parasha of Egel is a very difficult and complicated, with machlokes and between the Rishonim, exactly what happened. But whatever happened, there definitely was a Yerida, and Klal Yisrael dropped very, very far. Why do we have to remember how Klal Yisrael dropped? Well, we have to remember how one has to guard himself. One can be even on a very elevated level, and one feels sometimes when it's on such a level, there's no way I can fall. I feel so good about myself. It davens well, and it learns well, and it's so easy to have good middos. Every person has the times in his life when everything goes gishmak, and everything goes mechayedik. And if sometimes one can lose himself. There's a famous saying, I don't remember who it was, one of the Chassidish Rebbes, though on the way, there was once on a carriage going down the hill, and it was very scary, the horses were going so quick, so they got all scared and they were like holding on tight, nothing should happen. And nothing happened, and after the bottom of the mountain it started going flat again, all of a sudden the carriage turned over and everyone went flying. And he said, as long as we were scared not to fall, we were careful. But once we weren't scared anymore about not falling, we relaxed. And as soon as we relaxed, then we fell. Which is the same, l'choyer, that's what happened over here. The person has to realize, even when he's on the high madrega, he's got to remember that be scared of falling, that's the Zechiras Maase HaEgel. Then we have our Maase of Zechiras Miriam, which Mitzvah will speak about. We have to remember what happened to Miriam. And then we have Zuchus Yom HaShabbos LeKadshoy. We're going to remember the Heilige Shabbos. we're going to remember Shabbos to make it heilig, Zuchus Yom Shabbos Lekadosh to make it heilig, and those takatin Yiddish Kinda every week we mechabed when Zuchus Yom Shabbos Lekadosh. The Zechiras Maaseh Miriam, which you want to concentrate on, is really says this pusik of Zechir, Zuchir, Sashah, Osa, Hashem, Elekech, and Miriam, Derech, Vaseitzchim, and Tzroim, doesn't say in this week's Sedra. It says in Parashas Ketzeitzei. The Maaseh which happened in this week's Sedra, and we have a Tziv in Parashas Ketzeitzei, not to forget about it. And the Chuvetz Chaim, Shmir Solution brings down, as a Machlokes, whether it's definitely, the Raisa is Machlokes, whether you have to say it bepeh, or we don't have to say it bepeh. Some poskim hold that we have to mamash say bepeh, and that's taka the minig, which people say this pusik over in the morning. And some we don't have to say bepeh, but it's something which we have to keep on constantly reminding ourselves. What happened over here? What was the nekida, what was the story which happened about it? The Chofetz Chaim, Shmir Solution brings down, he's masbe that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch wants us to remember is in order to, a person should be able to catch himself when he wants to speak Lashon Hara, he should be able to catch himself and realize what were the consequences for somebody who already spoke Lashon Hara. But not just the Lashon Hara. They hardly said anything, and they said it about something who they really loved, and they said about it because they meant it for their good, and they only said it privately. There were so many different factors which were happened over here by the Maaseh when Miriam spoke with Aaron HaKohen, to say that they didn't even do an Aveira. It was such a minute chet which might have happened. And the punishment was so huge. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to remember this Maaseh for Miriam, in order that we should always get a chizik, and we should constantly remember what could happen if one speaks Lashon Hara. And the Chofetz Chaim goes through it in Sha'at Tvina and Shmir Solution, and he goes through word by word what happened of this Maaseh Miriam. So the first thing you got to realize, what did she do? What did she do? What did Miriam do? Who did it? We're talking about Miriam HaTzadeikas did it. Where did she do it? She did it on the way, when she was on the way. Okay, very nice. She was on the, it was that Kodesh Baruch, he didn't even wait a minute until he punished them. And he goes through with details. What did she, first of all, what did she say? What did she do? All she said was that Moshe Rabbeinu is a Novi. Wow, it's a compliment. Halavai, a lot of us would want to say people say around us we're a Novi. Yeah, he's a Novi the same as us. Therefore, why is he behaving in a darga even higher than us? Miriam and Aaron were Nevi'im long, long, long before Moshe Rabbeinu. They were little children and they were already saying Nevi'ah, and Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't even around. And Moshe Rabbeinu started as Nevi'ah when he came back from Midian, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him by the snare, go and lay those Yiddish Kinder, he was already 8 years old. Aaron and Miriam were already Nevi'im when they were the ages of 3 and 5. There were years, tens of years before Moshe Rabbeinu they became Nevi'im. And they knew, how a Nevi behaves, they knew how a Nevi is meant to be. And all they went and told them was, Moshe Rabbeinu is the same as us. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu behave differently? Why does he behave differently than the way we behave? We have experience. And we know how one is meant to behave and one is a Novi. Why is he behaving differently? And they only really wanted to say it was a Vata'elis. Miriam was bothered. Moshe Rabbeinu is being Pirish Mena Isha. We have a mitzvah of Piriviriviya. We have a mitzvah of Loshevez Bura. We have a mitzvah of Livnos HaOlam, to build up a world. So therefore she was bothered. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu do something in a way which is going against what would be good for him? We're talking about Miriam and Avia. Who was Miriam? Miriam was somebody we know that was the Be'er. The Yidden were thirsty for water in the Midbar. 40 years the Yidden walked through the Midbar, in the middle of a total desert. Whoever of us, most of us have seen what a desert looks like. We've been to Eretz Yisrael, and we drive down sometimes from Yerushalayim, we go down to Yam HaMelech, and there's a desert. Desert is absolutely, there's nothing there. The Yidden walked through such a desert. They needed food, they needed water, and they needed shelter. And those three things came in the schis of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. I mean, the schis of Miriam and Avia was the whole of Klal Yisrael had water to drink because of her. We're not talking about a simple person. We're talking about somebody who was, the pusik is made on her, she was an Avia. Fatikach, Miriam and Avia. Miriam and Avia took the tip of Mecholos. She was the one that led all the Nushim at Tzidkunias after Kriyas Yamtziv. She was the one who led the shira. Moshe Rabbeinu led the shira for the men. Miriam Hanavi was the one who led the shira for the ladies. Who did she speak about? She spoke about her brother, who she was moisen nefesh for him. There was no way in the world for someone to be able to say that Miriam Hanavi did this out of spite, because she wanted to hurt him, because she wanted to do something to maybe chepper him. She gave her life away for him. When Moshe Rabbeinu was put inside the Nilus, the Mitzrayim, was put inside the river Nile, and Miriam Hanavi was the one who waited behind the tree. She was only a small girl, and she was moisen nefesh. She didn't know what's going to happen. They knew that if they would catch Moshe Rabbeinu, the Izayid, Api Derech HaTeva, they would kill him. They might have killed her also for being around and trying to save him. She gave up her life to save her brother. This is this brother who she cared for. This is this brother who she loved with all her heart and all her soul. Her younger brother, her little younger brother, who she always looked after, and now she felt he was doing something which maybe she wasn't 100% according to the Darga. He was becoming falsely, in the wrong way, he was becoming too frim, he was becoming too erlich. He thought that this is a Darga of Kedisha, which one is meant to have, which is not right. She was also very careful not to say Berabim. She wasn't trying to hurt him. She was trying to tee off Eppes. She was trying to get to a point. She was trying to make a positive effect. Therefore, she told it quietly to Aaron HaKohen. I think that our brother has an issue which we have to deal with. I think he has something which we have to know about, which we have to see how we can get him to change. This machlokes, I saw in the Mefarshim bring down on Moshe Rabbeinu. They said it in front of Moshe. They didn't say in front of Moshe. They wanted Moshe just to hear how they were talking, so he would hear what he has to do. Whatever the point was, the kavuna of them was zikha that Moshe Rabbeinu should do something which they held in their apida hashkufa, that he was doing something which was incorrect. And Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't bothered. The pusik is made, v'ish Moshe unav ma'oid. Moshe Rabbeinu was a unav. He was the mushal, and the example of anivus, the pusik tells us, he wasn't bothered in the slightest. It didn't make any effect on him at all, whatever they said. He wasn't shepherd. We're talking about such a moirdig dargas of idolkeit, shabba idolkeit, of what was the aveira which Miriam told. And what happened? She got such an oinish. Tzeras isn't stama oinish. Tzeras, the Chofetz Chaim brings down, is something which is only a pines one can get healed from it. There's no natural medicine. There's no natural thing which can just heal a person out because he got tzeras. It's something which is, you need to come with a tzipa, a chayon, a tzipa, a mesa, with the whole process, with everything else which is involved in tiresome tzera. It's not something you can go to the doctor for, and you get an appointment, you get some antibiotics, and you're better. It's something which is, you sent out, mishulash machnos. Somebody who's tumah with tzeras gets sent out further out of klal yisrael than somebody who does a tumay mes. He's metame be'oil. He himself, who is inside a oil, is metame. Anybody who comes into his house gets tumah. It's as if he's a dead person. There's nothing else which is a zoy metame except a dead person who's metame also by oil. This is a live person, he's metame by oil. Anybody who comes into his tent becomes tumme. This is what happened to Miriam and Aviyah because she said such a slight thing. Says the Chofetz Chaim, how much more so do we have to be careful? We have to be careful, versteitzach, not to talk about other people. He said very often, we all know ourselves, and that's the avoid of us, which we're busy with, to try to help ourselves not to speak Lushon Hara. But speaking Lushon Hara normally doesn't involve giving somebody a lesser compliment than he really deserves. It normally involves something, giving somebody a chapter sometimes, saying sometimes a bad word about someone, without thinking, with thinking. Sometimes somebody's upset, and very often the person the stuff was said about gets very upset. All these malice which you have in Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron and Miriam normally don't exist when a regular person says Lushon Hara. And Miriam Tzeras got Tzeras so quickly that the whole of Klal Yisrael had to know about it. Imagine she said something so quietly to Aaron HaKohen, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chodo Ba'atzmoy, announced it to the whole of Klal Yisrael. Everyone is going to wait now 7 days. We were about to travel, plans are on hold. We're going to wait now 7 days in order to be able to carry on going. In order that, because Miriam and Aviyah, the Groza Tzadikas Miriam, who were all drinking water in her Zchis, did a Navaira, and therefore everybody. And that's what Chazal tell us, that next parasha we have Shlach Elchu the Meraglim, And the Meraglim didn't learn this master, didn't learn this lesson from Miriam and Neviah. That's the Smichas of Parshius. They didn't learn this lesson which Miriam and Neviah had given them just now, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us through the master of Miriam, and they take it said Lashon Hara. But nowadays, we do know already this chet, and we do know what type of tzuris can come out from saying Lashon Hara. So Zechuv Etzchaim HaBazoi, we have to, it's much easier for us to control ourselves because we know the consequences of what things can happen. It's a very interesting Gemara. And the Gemara says in Gemara Shabbos Tafei Zayin, the Gemara says three things Moshe Rabbeinu did himself on his own accord, and Kodesh Baruch Hu was masking to him. Three things that Kodesh Baruch Hu, which Moshe Rabbeinu did, and Hashem said, I agree. One of them was Hoisiv Yemechem Midatoi. We had it just now by Shviyas. Moshe Rabbeinu added on an extra day to prepare for Matan Torah. The second one was as Pirish Mi'ishtoi, like Moshe Rabbeinu separated from his wife from Tzipoira. The third thing was that Nishtabri Alichos, by the Master Egel, Moshe Rabbeinu came back and he broke the Lichos. And the Mura brings down, how do we know each one of them? So the Mura says, Pirish Mi'ishtoi, why was Moshe Rabbeinu taka Pirish Mi'ishtoi? What was? The Mura says, Amurdi Gazach. Moshe Rabbeinu made a call the Choyme. The whole of Klal Yisrael heard Hashem speaking by Har Sinai. And therefore there had to be Purish Mina Isha. Everyone had a mitzvah. That's for 3 days before Matan Torah, they had to prepare themselves. If everyone had a mitzvah to prepare themselves and be Purish Mina Isha because the Shekhinah was going to speak to them, says the Moshe Rabbeinu, I have to have the Shekhinah always speaking to me. The Shekhinah always speaks to me. I've got to prepare myself always. I've always got to be in the same state of Achuna, of preparation, which Yidden had before Har Sinai. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was masking to him, how do we know? Because after Matan Torah, Shivu Lechem Lo Aleichem, everyone was told to go home. Va'ato poya moidi mudi, you should stay here and stay around with me, was the askuma of Moshe Rabbeinu, his askuma which he got from Hashem, that he did the right thing. So someone showed me, my brother Chanusa showed me this, Amoidik, the Toysis says over here, Amoidik thing. Toysis asked the Kasha, it's Amoidik Yisod. Toysis asked the Kasha, how do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu did it himself? How does the Gemara know that Moshe Rabbeinu did of his own accord? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was masking. There's a pusik. The Gemara brings down a drusha. Maybe that drusha was the drusha Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu lachatchila, you should now be purged from your wife. How do you know it was Moshe Rabbeinu's own idea? And then came along, the Eibush Dam was masking to him. So the Tosa says it can't be that it was Moshe Rabbeinu's, it was that Kodesh Baruch Hu's Sivi, because then Moshe and Aaron would never have complained. Moshe and Aaron would never have ta'anis on him. The Aibisha told Moshe Rabbeinu, Miriam would never have ta'anis on Moshe Rabbeinu. How could Miriam have ta'anis on Moshe Rabbeinu if the Aibisha gave him often a Sivi? For Toysel back into Kasha. So how could she have ta'anis if Hashem agreed though? Because that for sure happened. Moshe Rabbeinu decided to do something, and the Eibishter gave that skumma, the best hamlutza you can have. You can walk around the whole world making tzedukah for something. You have a hamlutza from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Somebody wants to do an hugah, he wants to do something. Who has he got a letter from saying he was doing something right? From Hashem himself. He's got a drusha after poem Moide Mudi. Hashem agreed. How can Moshe and Aaron have said, how can Miriam and Aaron have any type of a hu'ur if Hashem agreed? Tosfos said words which only Tosfos could say. Tosfos said, Miskol Mokoim, Nisrami Ulov. They still had ta'anus on Moshe Rabbeinu. If he wouldn't have gone and done such a thing, Hashem would never be masking to him. The way a person wants to go, Hashem helps him to go. Moshe Rabbeinu chose to go on such a path. He chose to go this extra mile of Kedisha to be in Poyish Me'ishtoi, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu was masking to him. And Moshe and Aaron had ta'anus why Moshe Rabbeinu chose such a path. It's not enough Hashem gave him some Miriam and things. It's not enough that Moshe Rabbeinu, that Hashem gave him the askuma. The hatanas on him, why he chose such a path. Even though so he brings down, Tosfos carries on afterwards to saying that how taka did they know now. Rashi also brings it down because we just had the beginning of Balei Yitzchok, we have a parsha of Eldad and Medad when they started saying Nevi'as. And when Tzipora heard that Eldad and Medad are saying Nevi'as, Miriam said, Ashreim, that they're zoichet to Nevi'as. So Tzipora said, oy vai to their wives, that because now their husbands will be poirish from them. And that's how Miriam heard that Moshe Rabbeinu was poirish from Tzipora. And that's how she came with her tanis. Even though there was a drusha, and she knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu was maskim. But till then, she didn't know it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's haskuma. She thought HaKadosh Baruch Hu was metzavah. Now she understood it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Haskuma only, and not his tzivi, and therefore she came with tanas. I'm already you saw in Tosis, you see, there is such a thing as a person going down a path, and he gets gevaldige siyata d'shmaya, and it's still possible for gedoyle Yisrul to have a hura on him, and say, maybe the path he's doing is laved after the right path, laved after the correct path. Shtaitzich is not something in our realm of things to do, but it's a very interesting Tosis. Just thinking nowadays, then the one of the nepkidas which the Chofetz Chaim brings out so strongly is that Miriam and Aaron had a private conversation. They were by themselves. They had a private conversation. They didn't say it in front of people. They didn't want Moshe Rabbeinu to get embarrassed. It was a very quiet, simple conversation. Most Lushan Haras, until the recent generation, were always in such a type of a matziv. It was very hard for somebody to tell Lushan Hara to a lot of people at the time. The maximum you could do was say something in Shil, and you had a group of people around you. So you managed to sell it to 5 people, to 10 people. You managed to even, somebody was a vicar, as a chevroman, he was a loudspeaker, so you managed to get 50 people involved. That was the maximum normal type of ashpur a person was capable of having. And then came along the printing press and the newspapers, and they managed to have a bigger circulation. And the bigger circulation that one has, we know that's their yichus. And therefore, they said just one word, all of a sudden the printed word, first of all, everybody believes what's printed. It's very interesting. If you ever notice, if there's an article sometimes in the paper about something you personally know about, and very often you'll find something is wrong. We know it. Not everybody's 100% perfect. And they'll say that some detail will be wrong, sometimes it'll be a bad detail, sometimes a minor detail, but very often, more often than not, it's not 100% correct. And we know, we read that article and we say, we know that article's not right. But the next article, next when we read to it, we believe it 100%. The one way that we don't know about, all of a sudden we do believe. We're human, that's a human tendency, we believe what we read. Even though we know 100% the article next to it, which we know about, which happened to be about your event, which you organized and you did, they even got the speaker's name wrong, or they got the wrong day, or they got the wrong thing, or he said the wrong thing. Or they even brought down a photo which happened to be for some other thing completely in the other end of the world and they happened to put it onto your story. Whatever it was and however it was, that you know is wrong. But the next article we all believe. We're all the same. The printed word has a moridika koyach. And all of a sudden it could reach to hundreds of people, to thousands of people. You still have to have a printing press. You still have to have a lot of money. And you have to have a whole system set up in order to get things printed. And with the years, as we all know, technology, as I've been now videoed and recorded, and lots of people who are more than who are here are capable of seeing and hearing it. That's the world nowadays. Every one of us has become a bigger magachia than the biggest magachia that was 100 years ago. Each one of us has, when he says something, or when he writes something, or if he texts something, or if he sends a what's up, or maybe we have to call it a what's down because of the problems which come because of it. All these types of things which happen, these are things which are, there's such a potential to harm people. Avada, there's a potential to do good things with it. But the instantness of it, the way that we have to, so difficult to use our brain to block from when we want to do something until it gets done. We don't have that natural time, breakout time in between. And time when somebody used to print something, he has to get the printer, he had to go and write it, he had to send it in. It was a lot of time to think. By the time the thought hits, until it's already gone out, is such a microsecond that it becomes very difficult. We live in an instant age. Sometimes we know we get clips and we get things and we send them on. And I was thinking, one nekida, I might be wrong, just very humble suggestion. Everyone can think about it themselves. I'm definitely not here to say any misser. To bring out a point and see what everybody should think themselves, what they think. Very often, verschleitzich a bad story or something which is bad about somebody else and we send it around, everyone knows that it's the wrong thing to do, and we all get to Yidden, and we all try and be good, and we all work on ourselves, and we definitely don't want to send it around, and we hold ourselves back, and we delete it. But very often, it gets sent around a funny photo, a funny video, something which is interesting. A photo was taken at a certain family party, something that was taken at a family simcha, something was taken at a different event. The Chofetz Chaim writes down, he brings down the Lushan from the Rambam. What is Lushan Hara? I remember when I saw it the first time, it was a real eye-opener. In Perek Hey, the Chofetz Chaim is very busy discussing, Lushan Hara doesn't mean you have to say something bad. It doesn't mean you're saying someone is a ganav, someone is a balavaira. To say that somebody isn't a chucham, he's not the cleverest man around. To say he's not an oisha, he's not a rich man. To say he's not a gibber, he's not a strong man, is 100% Lushon Hara. Because the Rambam brings down the Lushon, which is Lushon Hara, I wrote it down, I don't want to say a mistake. The Chofetz Chaim brings down, it's in Perik Hei, Alucha Beis. He brings down, the Hilchas Deis, Perik Zayin, Alucha Hei. She Lushon Hara Nikr Duva. Lushon Hara is called a thing, She Goyrem, which causes. Im Yisvada Zela Anushim, if it will be known to people, Lahazik Loi Begifoi, which will damage him in his gif, in his body, Oy B'mamoyna, or in his money. Those two things we understand. Oy Lahotzer Loi, it'll cause him pain. Will frighten him. So once we go to those last two comments, says the Chofetz Chaim, anything which might cause him any damage. We know that we tend to do business with people who we think are financially well off. Somebody who is scared is going to go bankrupt tomorrow, we don't lend him credit. We don't want to do business with him, we're scared things might go under. So the Chofetz Chaim, if you say about somebody he's not a rich man, you're causing him loss. You're causing him, people do shidduchim quicker with somebody who has known in town to be more well off. And the people here, no, he doesn't really have any money. People will be reluctant maybe to do some shidduchim with him. There's lots of different types of very subtle damages which could happen. I was just thinking to myself, sometimes you have a photo taken, a little clip of a Heimisha family party. It's very sweet for everybody involved in the family. It's very cute. And everybody wants to see it and everybody's happy to see it. But does the person on that video want the whole world to see it? Or is he embarrassed the whole world should see how he was playing in some game, whatever it was at home, or some little family discussion they had, or the way that he was dancing by whatever event it was, by a chasno, by a simcho, by a lagboimo, wherever it was. There are lots of personal items in people's lives which are 100% okay. There's nothing wrong with them. They didn't do anything wrong. They didn't mean anything wrong. And they were behaving totally normal. But they still wouldn't like that photo and that clip to be sent around. So sometimes when you see a photo, I only realized it recently, I see a photo, I think to myself, would I want myself to be on this photo being sent around? Definitely not. So if I don't want it to be sent around, it's much more than that. It could be, it's mamish lushon hara. It sounds bizarre, but I'm not sure if I'm right or not, but just a machshuva, which I thought sometimes you can have very, very simple, innocent things which might end up being much more chumah than we think. And also nowadays we have a problem that once we say lushon hara, we can never find the people who we said it to in order to repair it, because it's gone. You can wipe it, you can delete it from your computer, but you can't delete it from the next person's email, from the next person's account, and from somewhere else. It's gone. It's not yours anymore. So if you shot a bullet out of a gun, it's impossible to catch it back again. Then we have an achrayus today. In the other way, we have such a more of a schis, because every time that we were careful about something, we're careful about something which is worth billions and trillions instead of something which is only worth tens and hundreds. So the schis, the tzad schis which we have, is phenomenal. Just thinking, what are the few items which a person have, which we have in order not to speak lushon hara? We're living in Manchester, and the Heilige Rosh Yeshiva, Zeche Tzadik, Kudosh Levrucha, was the one who brought the awareness of Sefer Chofetz Chaim to the Hamoinam, to the masses. He was the one who introduced learning two aluchas every day. I think if you go around the world now and you ask, what's this Indian to learn two aluchas every day? Most people think, the Chofetz Chaim split it himself probably. That, you know, he printed in a sefer every day what you should learn for every day. It's become such a nachlas from the whole of Klal Yisrael. It's become something which belongs to Klal Yisrael, this two aluchas b'chol yoyim. And we were zoicha, our town was zoicha, that the person who made this up and who created it and who brought it into Klal Yisrael lived here just around the corner. Used to daven in this room so often. He was somebody who we had a schis to be with. Somebody who was so careful. The Rosh Yeshiva used to say that, Sabavista Memra, I never heard it from him directly, but Sabavista thing, the Rosh Yeshiva used to say, there's nobody who learns two aluchas every day of Lushon of Chofetz Chaim who doesn't see a yeshi in his life. Before he was nifty, he asked, I hope I'm saying correct, if not, I'm sure I'll be corrected, that he asked they should put one of the lichas, used to print the liach. It was never printed inside the Chofetz Chaim. Now, most Chofetz Chaims come printed in with a liach inside. And then he printed a liach, every year he printed a new liach that people should have, a regular calendar they can use. And inside it was written in what to learn every day, Sai Chofetz Chaim, Sai Shmir Salushin. He asked when after 120, they should put him in, when he gets buried, they should put one in his hand. That's his passport to Olam Haba. When he comes upstairs and he has this, they let him through all the border controls. There's no immigration up there when you're holding such a thing in your hand. That's his passport, goes straight through, diplomatic pass. He knew what he was doing, and he was zoicha that he caused a revolution. The Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation nowadays is in every language you want. There's phone lines, there's drushas, there's shirim, there's everything and anything, all caused by the Heilige Tzidkes and the Rosh Yeshiva. I'll tell a personal story. I hope my shved doesn't mind. My shved told me once, Reb Shai Leiner from Zurich, he was very close to the Roshiva, and he once asked, he was very, very close to him, and he asked him once, tell me, Roshiva, when I don't know what to do, I ask you, what does the Roshiva do when he doesn't know what to do? You've got to be close to ask it. The Roshiva stopped and looked at him and said, I have very often two Gedoyl Yisrul come to me in a chulam and tell me what to do. One of them was the Chofetz Chaim. He said, very often the Chofetz Chaim comes to me in chulam and tells me what to do. You don't get such a connection without having caused something. The Roshiva turned the whole world upside down. And we have the schiss of being here, so automatically we get the siyata d'shmaya also of having it, of being close and getting it, of learning the aluchas. Then versteit sich tefillah, we daven for it, we say, in the morning is a minig, arenim kawalai mitzvah seish of haftalarecha kumoicho. Haftalarecha kumoicho is one of the second law which the Chofetz Chaim brings down. Obviously, when a person is mekayim, haftalarecha kumoicho, he doesn't speak lashon hara. Nobody wants to say something bad about himself. The Chofetz Chaim brings it out so beautifully. He said, everybody knows what problems he has. But if he hears somebody telling a friend, do you know what Yankel did? He knows it's true. Halavai, that yeah, person should be quiet. And even if he says something, halavai, yeah, and I shouldn't believe him. And this person is only saying a hundredth or a thousandth of what his darga is. We all love ourselves. And we daven. I saw only yesterday, that's only Nisach Sfad, when Satzleini, one of the things we say in this Chesvad is Lushan Hara. With Schir Sis Mitzrayim, we say at the end of davening is to remind us to remember. It's all tefillahs and all things which we're using to remember. And then Unav, just want to finish one small Nikida. A person who holds himself small has nothing to. He never wants to talk bad about somebody else because he's always looking up to somebody else. We have the famous Igeres Ramban. The Igeres Ramban is telling his son how to behave. He's telling him the whole time. Lisnaig called over Rechu Benachas and tells him exactly how to do. And he adds in the Moridika words in the middle, "V'chol udam yeh gudel mimcha beinecho." Every person who you meet should be in your eyes greater than yourself. He says, if he's clever than you, versteitzich. If he's a bigger talmchuchem than you, versteitzich. And if you're richer than him and you're better than him, but you're very likely a bigger baal avayir than he is, always look up to everybody. For tisbayish mikol udam, you should be naturally ashamed from every person. If somebody is ashamed from somebody else, he doesn't speak bad about him. He feels himself inferior to somebody else. He's not going to say anything bad about him. It's these types of things which help us to be able to miskaber. Just to finish with a cute thing, we say over a story that there was somebody at the end of Shmoneh Esrei was busy davening for Anuva, v'nafshi k'ufa l'kol tiyev, and he kept on going. Somebody overheard him. He doesn't stop for 10 minutes davening, v'nafshi k'ufa l'kol tiyev, v'nafshi k'ufa l'kol tiyev. He's really working on his anivas. Really working on his anivas. Finally finished Shmoneh Esrei, and by mistake somebody stands on his toe a second, and the guy blows it, and he gives him over their head, and what are you doing? You have to be careful what you're doing, what you're doing. He said, I don't stand, I just overheard you for 10 minutes saying you're just a piece of earth. I'm a piece of earth, but don't stand on it. So that's what the point of Anivas is, that we want to work on ourselves, and we want to see that what's and when and how. And you know, the Eibshel Elfen, only managed to say a little bit, but the Eibshel Elfen Zal Zoychazan, became like Chizik for Master Miriam. I chas shum didn't mean any misa, and I hope everybody felt that. I just wanted to bring the awareness out, the schist that we have of Biel to learn Chofetz Chaim. In the Aish Lehel from Zal Zoychazan, this is what Meraglim, the Avoyna Meraglim, the Avoyna Lushan Hara, is what caused us to go into Gulas for 40 years in the Midbar. It's Kolchkein, Shabbat Kolchkein has the koich to bring us out of Gulas. And the more we makbid, and the more we try, and the more we're careful, the quicker Mitzchen Aish Lehel from Zal Zoychazan, Bekurav, Meherivim, Meini, Betzion, to Gulas.